Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports. Now, here's your host, Matt Kolsky.
Come on!
Hello, and happy pre-dawn to everybody. Welcome in. It is the pregame show. I am Matt Kolsky. We are 95.7 The Game, home of the Golden State Warriors, and hey now, it's going well. Right? Everything's good. Back on top, literally and figuratively. I think we like to do this thing in the regular season with the Warriors. Oh, that was it. That was the one. They're back now. Here they come. Here comes the run. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, more often than not, you're wrong if you do that. I'm serious now. This is it. They're locked in. Here comes the run. And Boogie's coming, too. I got a lot of sound I want to get into from last night. 925 texter during last night's postgame show said the entire morning show should be centered on Clay's presser. Dominant performance. Hashtag unsolicited advice. And I can just tell you that a significant portion of this morning program will in fact be centered on Clay's 1 minute postgame interview.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
Because he's the best. The absolute best. Would you like a highlight? Would you like a highlight from that interview? Would you?
Yes.
Hold on.
Substance over style. Feel me?
Substance over style. Feel me?
Substance over style. Feel me?
That's just a highlight. That's just a taste. But yes, there will be plenty of attention paid to Clay's post-game comments. Good stuff there. But I also want to pay attention to Draymond's post-game comments. I always think Kareth Burke does a great job, not to compare her to past Warriors sideline reporters, but there have been a number of them over the last decade since I've been following Warriors basketball. That's about right, decade or so, since I've been following closely, and she's the best that I've seen. And last night, I just asked a couple of smart questions that got interesting responses from Draymond Green, so I will get to all of that. And as we said, Boogie officially out for tonight against the Pelicans, which puts him on track for the original estimated return date, Friday, January 18th. And I continue to look very much forward to that.
Boogie!
I do want to address this here comes the run thing, though, because I saw a tweet from friend of the program, Dieter Kurtenbach. Read his great work in the San Jose Mercury News. Follow him on Twitter at D Kurtenbach. Well, first of all, I recommend heading over to Dieter's Twitter just to check out the incredible video from the Bulls Lakers game last night, where you can audibly hear a Lakers fan in the background of the broadcast screaming,
"It's really messed up. You're trying to keep us from having free tacos."
That's good comedy. But also, I saw Dieter tweet towards the end of the game. I want to get it exactly. quote, enjoy this while it lasts because the Warriors are going to shut it down for a few weeks after this. Now, I don't know if I think he's maybe joking, but that's always possible, right? I mean, in the regular season, there's something with this Warriors team where oftentimes, not just every now and then, but it seems like oftentimes they get one of these wins, at least the last couple years. They get a win, it's all coming together. Here comes the run. And then, not so much. I think we've already had a couple of those this year. There was that stretch where they were on the road beating Eastern Conference teams, finished off a road trip with a win over Milwaukee, at Milwaukee, then come home, beat Minnesota, all keyed up for a big Toronto game, and they got blasted. Blasted. You know, then they go and get wins at Sacramento, hosting Memphis, and then they go to Utah and get beat. There have been a few times, you know, they bounce back from that overtime loss to Portland, go up to Portland and beat them, win at Phoenix, and then come home and came out like gangbusters, but lose that overtime game to Houston. So that's something that's happened, not just this year, but last year as well, where there was a feeling of something's not quite right. They're not quite locked in. And then they get a big win. Oh, they're locked in now. And then turns out next game, two games later, maybe not so much. So the idea that Dieter tweeted, enjoy this while it lasts, because the Warriors are going to shut it down for a few weeks after this, that would not be out of step with what we've seen at times. But I think this is it. I think this is the start of the stretch that takes them through the title. And I think it kind of needs to be, because there is going to be somewhat of an adjustment with Boogie. So I'm not necessarily saying Boogie comes back, they continue rolling as smooth as last night. Fernando from Stockton just texted in, last night's game is to remind the NBA what the Warriors are capable of doing when they want to play. I think it's a little more complicated than that, but that's in there. And that's one of the things that Kareth talked to Draymond about. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I don't know if it's all when they want to play. I don't know if it's we decided to play today to send a message. I'm not sure about that, but I am sure that's what it looks like when the Warriors are functioning on all cylinders, even if the opponent plays really well. Everyone was hot in that game last night. The shooting numbers for the big three, they combine for 89 points, all right? They are 34 for, quickly let me do the math. They made 34 shots and they missed 18. 34 for 52. 34 for 52 from three players. And by the way, 4 assists, 6 rebounds for Steph, 6 assists, 4 rebounds for KD. Klay Thompson, just 3 rebounds and an assist, but 3 steals. And 4 dunks, never forget.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
And part of it is just when you have this much talent and they're all functioning at once. I mean, heck, Andre Iguodala's 4 for 5. Sean Livingston, 4 for 5. Quinn Cook, 5 for 8. Kevon Looney, 3 for 6. 9 points, 12 boards, 4 assists in the game. Everybody played their best last night. And when everyone on the Warriors plays their best, they can blow out the team that had previously been the best team in the entire conference to that point. The Warriors can blow out that team, even if that team plays well, because they did. They were playing well. They came out, they were hitting shots almost as much as the Warriors were in that first quarter. That's why we got one of the best first quarters I've ever seen. And not just because the team I'm interested in scored 51 points, it was Denver too. Both teams played clean basketball. Both teams hit shots from three and elsewhere. And, I mean, that's what it looks like when basketball is played at a very high level. It's just the Warriors have so much more talent. And I do think, I don't know about message sending, I don't know about reminding the league who they are. I do think there is something to the level of focus they brought to the start of that game. I do. I think it does have to do with, hey, we're going into Denver. We lost to this team already. They're half a game ahead of us in the conference. They got a big guy we're not supposed to be able to handle because we don't have anybody big on the team right now. And we're going to lock in. We're locked in on this. And I expect to see the same tonight. New Orleans is not leading the conference, but Anthony Davis is, you know, that people say he's the best player in the league. This is a team, they have won four of their last five. It's not against great competition, but nevertheless. Coming off a game where Davis went 46 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and a block. How you like that? And it's sort of a bit of a push to the finish if the finish is Boogie Cousins returns.
Boogie!
510 Texter asked, how many times you think you've said the word boogie on this show in the last week? Now, does that include last Thursday and Friday? Is it the last 5 days of shows, or are we just saying starting Monday? Because if it's starting Monday, I think we're probably like in the 20s. I'll say if we're just starting from Monday, I've said boogie 24 times.
Boogie!
25. Does that count? Does it count when Jalen says it?
It does.
Does it count when Mac-10 says it?
Get your boogie on.
Does that count?
Yes.
How about when the Sugar Hill Gang says it?
Bang, bang, boogie, say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat.
That counts as 3.
Oh, well, in that case, we're definitely triple digits.
Yeah, you're way over 25 in those terms.
Cornucopia of color combinations.
It's a cornucopia of boogie combinations, really.
If you follow our Twitter account at pregameshow957,
yes.
I asked a question.
Oh, poll question. Put it on the poll.
Has Klay Thompson surpassed Vince Carter as the greatest in-game dunker of all time?
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
You want another taste? You want another taste of the post-game Clay? Do you?
Please.
You have one dunk. I have 11 this year. Pay me.
Pay me. That's the sound of a man live texting Zaza Pachulia while on camera. You know what? Let's not beat around the bush any further. When we come back, I will play for you Clay's, what shall I call it, media exchange post-game. And the legend of Clay will grow.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
That plus more post-game sound from, I would say, the biggest win, the best performance of the year by the Golden State Warriors. We're the home of the Warriors. I'm Matt Kolsky. This is the pregame show.
This Sunday, 4 teams enter. Only 2 will survive. Starting at noon, Drew Brees and the high-flying Saints host Bay Area native Jared Goff and the LA Rams.
And it's Jared Goff who ran it on the bootleg.
Then, Tom Brady and the Patriots try to hold off Pat Mahomes and the pending Kansas City Blizzard. You can only hear conference championship action on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Kolsky.
We are back. I'm Matt Kolsky. This is the pregame show. Nice guy Stephen Langford on the ones and twos over there, playing funky music. I'm not gonna do it this time. I'm just gonna compliment you on playing funky music. That's all. That's all I have to say about that.
I appreciate it.
We are presented by Golden State Lumber. Visit Golden State Lumber. Matter of fact, head over to the Building Bar at Golden State Lumber locations for Golden Mornings. It's a coffee meet and greet with product experts from Golden State Lumber's many wonderful suppliers. Details and information at goldenstatelumber.com, where you can also find locations and lots of good lumber resources. goldenstatelumber.com. Check them out. Would recommend. 5 stars. I told you I'd get into some of the fun post-game sound from last night, and that's exactly what we're going to do here. Most of you probably already know where this show stands religiously.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
So naturally, I was very interested in Klay Thompson's post-game response to his remarkable dunking performance. The new, the next Vince Carter. What did you say the poll question was about Klay Thompson, Stephen?
Has Klay Thompson surpassed Vince Carter as the greatest in-game dunker of all time?
There you go. That's our poll question at Pregame Show 957 on Twitter. You can always hop on there. Steven monitors that. Even when we don't talk about it, Steven monitors it, I presume. I mean, I don't ask. I just assume Steven's doing his job. At Pregame Show 957, you can tweet at me. I don't necessarily monitor it, so, you know, do with that what you will. So Klay has 4 dunks, which even he admitted, you know what? Why spoil it any further? Klay's post-game media exchange, primarily with our very own friend of the station, Mark Medina, the sonorous-voiced one himself. This is the content, pretty much the full content. 1 minute of radio gold for you, Klay, talking to the media after his, I'll say it, record-breaking 4-dunk performance.
What do you think of your 4 dunks?
Man, felt great. I don't think I've ever done that. Haven't done it since high school. And even in high school, I was probably leaking out, cherry picking. So that was nice, man. I felt better than hitting 10 threes, to be honest.
Did you get a chance to talk some trash yet with Zaza? Or?
Yeah, he texted me right after the game. So he's never seen me have 4 dunks. I told him I've never seen him. I don't know. I said something good. He was right there to let me know that he saw the bounce for once.
You know what the dunk counter between you two is?
I gotta be winning this year.
I believe it's 11-1.
Ha! Good. I'm gonna be texting that right now, actually.
KD was, I think, joking, but he was saying that you need more style in your dunks.
I do, but it's about efficiency, substance over style. You feel me? You have 1 dunk. I have 11 this year. Pay me.
Next question.
Okay. So we got to break this down in detail, naturally.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
Okay. Klay Thompson, first of all, very excited about the 4 dunks.
I felt great. I don't think I've ever done that. I haven't done it since high school. And even in high school, I was probably leaking out, cherry picking. So that was nice, man. I felt better than hitting 10 threes, to be honest.
Felt better than hitting 10 threes, he said. Steve Kerr took it one step further.
He was excited. He was raising the roof on his 4th dunk, and I'm pretty sure he's texted Zaza already in there. I don't know if they have another bet this year, probably. But Klay was more excited about that than he was his 14 threes in Chicago. Honestly, he's so happy in there.
Because I think at some level, Klay feels like he probably should hit 14 threes every night. But 4 dunks... That's outside his wheelhouse, outside his comfort zone. He's stepping out and up for the 4 dunks. So I get it. I get why 4 dunks is better than 10 threes to Klay Thompson. Now, to Michael Jordan, maybe not. 6 threes was worth a shrug. But to Klay Thompson, 4 dunks better than 10 threes. I love that. I love that. Next thing we have to address is, for those who don't remember, there was a point a couple years ago where Klay and Zaza had a who will dunk more this year bet, which I do think Klay won, right? Do you remember? I actually don't remember. I think Klay ended up winning, but it was very close. Very close. And I love that he... Now, this is an audio medium, so you couldn't see it, but if you look at the tweet or look at the video of Clay's post-game comments, first of all, he's putting on a jacket the whole time, and you can hear the jacket zip up at a certain point during that audio. Secondly, at that moment where he's where somebody asks him from the back, hey, do you know where the dunk count is this year? And he's like, no, but I got to be ahead of him. And he's like, yeah, it's 11-1. He says, oh, that's good. I'm going to text Zaza. Matter of fact, I'm going to text Zaza right now. He pulls his phone out and basically just starts ignoring the guys who were talking to him as he texts Zaza. And then he just says out, like, they're asking questions, and Clay just reads his own text out loud.
You have one dunk. I have 11 this year. Pay me.
It is tremendous. And then finally, we got to talk about the style issue.
Klay Thompson gets it left side, dribbles in and dunked it with a right hand.
Every single call, all four calls, basically, I might as well just play this one again.
Klay Thompson gets it left side, dribbles in and dunked it with a right hand.
Because that's what he did on all four dunks, is dribbled in and dunked it with the right hand. Not really on anybody. There was one where Jokic was there, and he made a business decision. He said, I'll pass on a poster. Thank you very much. But apparently, Kevin Durant said Clay needed more style on his dunks. But see here, and this is why I am a Claytheist.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
Because there's guys who are about flash. There's guys who are about the sizzle. And I'm about the steak.
Substance over style, feel me?
Efficiency. That's what I'm about.
Substance over style, feel me?
And that's what Claytheism is about. If I can make this deep and serious for a second. Just kidding. There's nothing deep or serious about this. Klay Thompson... He's just happy to shove it down. That's it. He's just happy to eke it over there. Klay Thompson dunking in an NBA game is like me for the month my freshman year of college where I could squeeze a basketball over the front of the rim. I still talk about that. And it took, like, running stairs in ankle weights for months to get me to that level. I would say 3 weeks I could eke a basketball over the front of the rim, but I had a good year where I could dunk a volleyball pretty good. And a tennis ball, forget about it.
Yeah, it reminds me of those high school days where I lowered the rim to 7 feet.
I will say this. There was a court at my college, well, technically at a different college, but this shared campus more or less, about a mile's walk from where I lived in college. Some buddies of mine lived in these sort of on-campus houses that were, I don't know, they weren't like normal dorms. They were like housey, and they had this basketball court with permanent 8-foot rims. Full court, permanent 8-foot rims, and my, did we have some fun. I believe I still have. I could probably find a buddy of mine for a literal school project, for a video project, made a fake and one mixtape that he called And None that involved hilarious, like, and one style hyped up replays of me and a few other friends doing fancy dunks on 8-foot rims. I should find that and put it on Instagram. You know what? I'll see what I can do for tomorrow. I may have that. I may have that somewhere. And None. Ah, good times. Me and Clay, you know? Occasional dunkers. Lovers of efficiency. Substance over style.
Substance over style. Feel me?
And that's why we remain devout Claytheists on this program.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
In this house, we are Claytheists. I also want to get into Draymond, though, because if there was a Draymondism, I would have a tough time. like Claytheism, it's easy for me to choose Claytheism because there is no Draymondology. What's the right word for Draymond's religion? We'll workshop that. We'll have the boys in back run a few ideas. But it's easy to be a Claytheist when there's no Tao of Dre.
I mean, Draytheist works, doesn't it?
Yeah, but isn't that a little derivative, Stephen?
It is a little bit.
I mean, I could be a Draytheist or a Clay, but then it sounds like they're just offshoots. Maybe that's what it is.
Look,
I am a Warrior-astrian. You like that? Like Zoroastrian, but Warrior-astrian? I'm a Warrior-astrian of the Claytheist sect. But I don't know. I have great respect for the tenets of the Draytheist sect. That's it. 408 text says, I hear that I dunked the ball one time and still talk about it all the time. 5'10 white guy. Exactly. Exactly. If you're under 6 feet and white, even if you are Jewish, which I firmly believe gives me an extra half inch of vertical over the average white guy, come at me. Go ahead. Steven's looking at me like there's something to that. There's nothing to that. That's just my own personal theory. But Draymondism, I like that. I like that from a 408. But yeah, anybody under 6 foot and white who has ever found a way to squeeze a basketball into a hoop in the style of a dunk, you mention it at every possibility. I mentioned it in the hub this morning for some reason. I don't even remember why. I think it was in reference to me and Dan Dibley discussing our variously degraded degrees of athletic ability.
Yeah, as I was getting in here ready for the show, you and Dibs are discussing each other's verticals.
Old guy stuff. Old guy stuff with Dan Dibley and Matt Kolsky. Every morning, 4:30 to 4:45 in the Sports Hub at 95.7 The Game. Draymondology. That is very good, 510. We will get into Draymondology when we get back. One of my favorites, friend of the program, Kareth Burke, with a insightful post-game interview on court with Draymond Green. Hear some of that audio and break it down next on the pregame show.
Boogie. Being a part of the team and winning the game, that's good enough for me.
Yes.
It's all over. Tyson Spencer at the buzzer.
Coming. On the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Kolsky.
We are back. I am Matt Kolsky. It is the pregame show. We are presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar. It's a coffee meet and greet with product experts from Golden State Lumber's many wonderful suppliers. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for details and more information. goldenstatelumber.com. We'll get to Draymondology in just a second. Still kind of in my Claytheism bag right now.
Klay Thompson gets it left side, dribbles in and dunked it with the right hand.
Dunked it with the right hand. The trash talk with Zaza is probably the best part. He takes out his phone. Man. By the way, 916 texter noticing you, Steven. K Trinata yesterday, Gold Link today. You're on it.
Hate it or love it. I am not Matt Kolsky.
But he is Steven. Nice guy, Steven. Steven Langford. Whatever you want to call him. He's getting it done.
You know why they call me Funky Bunch, Cody?
Why?
Because I play some funky music, baby.
Yeah, he does.
All right, that was bad.
Cajunata yesterday, Gold Link today. Great work. The Draymond post-game interview in 1 second, but I just want to revisit something from the Clay interview because I played for you already. We focused in, we've broken down Clay live texting Zaza during the interview.
You have one dunk. I have 11 this year. Pay me.
Pay me. Pay me.
Nothing easy.
But earlier in the interview, I think it's Mark Medina asked him if he's had a chance to talk any trash, and he gave you the trash talk.
Yeah, he texted me right after the game, so he's never seen me have four dunks. I told him I've never seen him. I don't know. I said something good.
That is... Okay, so let's just break down the possibilities of this. First of all, he's zipping up his jacket. The first half of the interview, he was like struggling with the jacket, trying to get it on, not quite getting it on. And then finally, mid-answer about trash talk, he uses the zipper sound to replace whatever he texted to Zaza.
Yeah, he texted me right after the game, so he's never seen me have four dunks. I told him I've never seen him. I don't know. I said something good.
I told him I'd never seen zip. I don't know. I said something good. So, to me, the possibilities here are, I'll call them three possibilities. Number one, he intelligently and cleverly used the zipper as a sort of sensor for whatever he sent to Zaza, knowing, thank you, Steven, knowing that whatever he said to Zaza was too filthy for the post-game interview. So what I say to Zaza, I said, zip. or the zipper took so much of Clay's focus that he forgot what he sent to Zaza. So he was like, yeah, I told him. And then, oh, crap, I forgot what I told him.
I said something good.
I said something good. Or he literally sent a text back to Zaza and immediately forgot whatever it was that he said. So I don't know which one it is. I don't know if he forgot. I don't know if he decided it was too spicy for air in the moment. But either way, that's the best on-air zipper I've ever heard. My whole life, I've never heard someone zip up a jacket better on a microphone.
Just an update on our poll. Has Klay Thompson surpassed Vince Carter as the greatest in-game dunker of all time at pregame show 957? 58% say no after 73 votes.
Oh.
They are mistaken.
Wow. Wow. You know what? I told the people, in this house, we're Claytheists.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
I don't even surpassed. I don't even, did he maintain himself? I would have put, that's how I would have phrased the question. Did Klay Thompson maintain his status as the greatest in-game dunker in NBA history just ahead of Vince Carter?
That is the problem with the question. It's definitely the phrasing.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson gets it left side, dribbles in and dunked it with a right hand.
Just saying.
I'm disappointed in some of these people.
Me too. You know what, though? 42% saying he did? That's pretty good. I'll take it. Oh, 510 texter says, the zipper could be Clay telling Zaza to hush, like a zip it. Hey, Zaza, zip it. I like it. Perhaps. 925 texter says, does dunking on a Fisher Price hoop count? I've done that a bunch of times. Hey, me too. Me too. No shame.
I've posterized some people on Fisher Price hoops.
Man, the metaphorically dead bodies of five-year-olds that I've smashed on a Fisher Price hoop litter the country.
No, literally, there is a poster in my garage of me posterizing somebody.
Q from the 510 wants to fill in the blank for the zipper. No, Q. I would like to keep my job. Thank you very much. 408 texter, as we transition to the Dre sect of what I call it, Warrior-astrianism. Dragonomics. Dragonomics. Now that's more of a, you know, Klay Thompson more spiritual, Draymond more of a socio-political system. Dragonomics.
Also a great Mac Dre song.
Oh yeah? All right. It's good to know. It's probably not time for me to do my Bay Area hip hop rant again. Let's save that. 510 wants more Antonio Brown rumors. Sorry, maybe next week. We got a lot to do today. Lot to do today, and then I don't know if you've heard, but there's big stuff coming Friday.
Buggy!
Yes, Steven?
Bruce Arians called Antonio Brown a diva. That's the extent of Antonio Brown talk today.
Okay. Oh, while we have you, Steven, I can't believe I forgot. We should have been, this should have been much earlier in the show. Obviously, great respect for the sports knowledge of nice guy Stephen Langford, and that's why when certain things happen that I don't feel like I have the expertise to cover, we go to Stephen to explain certain important issues in the Bay Area sports world. Back to Dragonomics in a second. I don't know if people are aware, the San Jose Sharks have won 7 straight games, so we now go to our own Stephen Langford for a little Stephen Explains the Sharks. Stephen, 7 straight wins. How are they doing?
7 straight wins. They are the hottest team in the NHL. Tomáš Hertl with a hat trick yesterday, and he's killing it. And I thought it was Timo Meier at first when I was watching the game, but it wasn't. And I was hoping Timo Meier was off his cold streak, but he wasn't.
All right, that's enough. I appreciate that. Thank you. Great job, Sharks. Good job, you guys.
Go hockey.
Hey, old-time hockey. We get that. The old slap shot drop. I don't mind a slap shot drop here or there. I think that's the extent of our hockey talk for the week, though. And to the 360 texter, nobody really thinks Clay's a better dunker than Vince Carter. Get over yourself. Let's talk about this Draymond post-game interview. A little Dragonomics for you. Kareth Berg does just a wonderful job as the sideline reporter, I think. It's a thankless job for the most part and can be very difficult. And she often finds ways to ask interesting questions that I think get interesting answers. And last night on the floor, got Draymond and started just talking about, obviously, how well the offense played. And Draymond, with nothing too crazy, but I think said what a lot of people have thought, what a lot of texters have said to me about last night's game, and just that this is what the offense can do when it's locked in.
Our offense is really clicking right now. We're moving the basketball. We're starting to cut back on the turnovers. Clay's gotten hot for us, so that's been good. But, you know, it's really flowing. But it's all starting with our defense. You know, we're able to lock them down. Now put them on the free throw line early, and that was able to get the pace where we wanted it for the game.
Yeah. It starts with good defense and not turning the ball over early. And that led Kareth to her next question, which I thought was a really smart one, a really interesting thing to ask a cerebral player like Draymond, and I'll play the whole thing for you.
51 points in the first quarter. I know where my eye goes on a box score, but I brought over that first quarter box score. What do you look at when it comes to these stats?
Turnovers. We only had one turnover, and that's the key to the game. Look at turnovers and how many free throws they shot. They shot 2 free throws. They weren't able to set their defense. We didn't turn the ball over. We were able to set ours. Those are the 2 things I look at.
Those are the 2 things he looks at. Turnovers, did they shoot free throws? And to his point, I'll give it to you again. 1 turnover for the Warriors in that first quarter. I believe 2 in the entire first half. And the Nuggets were 2 of 2 on free throws in the first quarter. Mason Plumlee, I believe, on an offensive rebound, getting fouled. That's the Warriors having good ball security and playing sound defense against a very good offensive team with a few guys who can attack you. Jamal Murray's dangerous. Jokic can get you into foul trouble, especially when the Warriors are as size challenged as they were last night and have to double team and throw extra guys at Jokic as much as they had to do last night. The fact that they put the hurt on the Nuggets in that first quarter by not turning it over, by not fouling, by keeping the flow going. And I think that's one of the things that results in Warrior games not looking like we want and expect Warrior games to look, is a huge part of their success is when they get that flow rolling, when they really get in a groove offensively. And so much of that comes from not stopping the game with bad fouls and turnovers. Because even if it doesn't directly, I mean, even if your bad fouls don't result in free throws that the other team converts, even if your bad turnovers don't result in fast break buckets, they do take you out of the flow of what you're doing. And I think as much as we spend time talking about, man, the Warriors' flow doesn't look right, the Warriors don't look as comfortable as they have, the Warriors don't seem to be operating, be firing on all cylinders. As often as we say that, I think we got to note what happens when they do. And that is what we saw last night. There's a level of beauty to it, and so much of it does just come from getting in a flow. And so much of getting in a flow comes from those simple things of not mucking up the game, not literally directly stopping that flow, physically speaking, by committing a foul that stops the pace of play, by committing a turnover that stops the pace of play or sends the other team running back the other direction. And so that's why it's an insightful thing for Carrick to ask, and that's why it was so interesting to hear Draymond give the answer he did, because every guy on this team would answer that question differently. I can tell you right now, Kevin Durant certainly does look at turnovers, probably does look at opponent foul shots, but there are other things he's looking at as well. Steph Curry probably looks at some different things. I know Steve Kerr looks at some different things. So finding that out from Draymond, what do you look at on the box score? Well, as the defensive anchor, as one of the engines that makes the offense go, as a passer, as a distributor, as an offense initiator, he's looking at stats that tell him basically, A, how well are we defending based on are we not fouling? And B, how is our offense initiation based on are we committing turnovers? He's looking at the two stats he feels tell him the most about the stuff he can most control. And believe me, he's yelling at some guys if he feels like the turnover number's too high because of something they're doing, or he's taking responsibility if the turnover numbers are too high because he's making mistakes. And that's one of the reasons I love Draymond, is he's thinking the game at such a high level, and he's looking at the stuff he can be at least partially responsible for and trying to work it out. 925 Texter says, this shows the Warriors can flip the switch. They came out and played this like a playoff game. They had something to play for last night, and it showed. And I think that's true. I'm not sure I'd call it flipping a switch, but it's, I don't know, how is it different? It might be semantics to say it's not flipping a switch. What it is entering a game with uncommon focus for a regular season game. And it's simply not realistic to bring your peak focus to 82 nights a year. I think we can hope for a higher level of frequency over the second half than we've seen over the first, but that's just part of playing 120 games a year for four straight years or whatever it is you have to pick your spots to some degree. And that is certainly something the Warriors have done. Is picked their spots from a focus and intensity standpoint. I think we'll start to see more and more focus and intensity as we go on. And I also think a bigger percentage than people would like to admit, a bigger percentage of the alleged struggles of the Warriors than people would like to admit comes from some very simple and straightforward things. And I think we have, I don't want to say we're taking it for granted, but I think people have largely forgotten the real difficulties that exist, even for a team as talented and capable as this Warriors team. And there were a couple of things that I've seen over the last week or so that I want to relate to the real challenges the Warriors have, and the fact that, frankly, they're doing a pretty good job of meeting them with consistency. Because, again, they are right back on top of the Western Conference right now, despite all the purse-clutching and concern trolling we've had so far this season. They're right back on top of the West, about to get a potential Hall of Fame-level talent into the lineup for the first time this year. And one of the things that I want to compare it to is Duke basketball. I watched Duke lose to Syracuse, what was that, Monday night? And they had the two best players on the floor the entire game. For the first couple minutes of the game, I think they may have had the three best players on the floor. The third guy, not the top two, who were Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett, but the third guy was Trey Jones, brother of Tyus Jones, current NBA player. And Trey Jones is the point guard, the offense initiator, and the best defender. Jay Billis was saying best defender in college basketball, but certainly the best defender on a Duke team that, you know, he might not be in the top three of players, although Cam Reddish was sitting in that game. And two things about that reminded me specifically of the Golden State Warriors. Because Duke was up something like 10-0, and Trey Jones got hurt. And suddenly the guy who initiated their offense and the guy who was their best defender was not on the floor anymore. And the stark difference, and now look, these are college kids, there's a lot of differences, but the absolute night and day just look of the team between Trey Jones on the floor and Trey Jones off the floor, and they had statistics that supported this for when he wasn't hurt, from just when he's sitting in games. But you could just see it. The minute he got hurt, it became infinitely more difficult for Duke to get into their offense properly and to score with the ease they had. And they stopped forcing turnovers. I mean, Trey Jones had something like four steals in the first 6 minutes of the game before he got hurt. That nozzle turned right off. So they were a little discombobulated getting into their offense, and they stopped forcing turnovers at a crazy rate. And all of a sudden, Syracuse got back in it and eked out a win. And at the end of the day, Duke was still the better team, still had more talent, still had, if you want to make a comparison to the Warriors, two of their four all-stars on the floor. But the makeup of the team was significantly different. The way those all-stars had to play was significantly different. And it led to a dramatic reduction in effectiveness. What I'm getting at here is, I couldn't help but think of the Warriors losing for a 16-game stretch one or both of their best shooter, their best two offensive initiators, and their best defender. And how easy it was for us to talk about the Warriors not functioning and say things like, well, they still have two all-stars, and ignore the fact that it's not just about counting all-stars. That's not how the NBA works. You don't just count up all-stars and whoever has the most wins. Chemistry, fit, feel, flow. The C and three Fs, as they always say. No one's ever said that. But seriously, those things matter. Probably more in the NBA than in any of our other major professional sports. So I really don't think there's much more to the Warriors' quote struggles than Draymond Green and Steph Curry being hurt and Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant being asked to take on more and different responsibilities. Add that to some lack of interior depth early in the season, and why should we expect the Warriors to be much better than whatever it is, 30-14? Again, still best in the West. And if they do hit that run we're all expecting, whether it's one they're already in the middle of having won five straight games, or if it's something later down the road, they're going to pull away from the rest of the Western Conference. So I'm just not going. I can't sit here and believe there's anything wrong, there was anything wrong, when there are perfectly reasonable explanations. Steph Curry and Draymond Green getting hurt, it's not an excuse, it's an explanation. No one's letting them off the hook because you say it's reasonable to perform at a lower level without two of your four best players. Of course it is. And there's so much talent here that I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that even if you're left with a ton of talent, losing two all-stars, one MVP, dramatically affects the way you play, and it makes it tough. It makes it tough. The other thing I wanted to compare is what's happening with the Boston Celtics right now. What's happening? Well, they have too many top-line talents. And I bring this up to bring up what I think has become something very much taken for granted around here, which is the brilliance and effectiveness of Steve Kerr. We threw temper tantrums all over the place with the Draymond and KD dust-up earlier this year. But these are guys who are in the middle of their third year together, playing over 100 games a year, in each other's face all the time. And frankly, Draymond, as much as I love him, as much as I am a Draymondologist in my own right, he's difficult. He's specifically difficult. Now look at Boston, where they have less talent, still a ton, still a handful of all-stars, but less talent, and they're having more trouble putting it together. And by the way, Brad Stevens, widely regarded as one of the top three or four coaches in basketball. And yet, not so easy to get a bunch of guys who think they should be starting to pull the rope the same direction. And I think that's just me telling you, don't forget how lucky we are to have this Warrior thing around. Because it took a coach who could get them to buy in. It took players who wanted to buy in the first place and wanted to play for each other instead of for individual accolades. It took so many things to get this together. And we were all sure Boston was the main challenge for the Dubs coming into the year because they had all the talent. And yet, they're fifth in the East right now, in part because it's hard to get that talent to operate together at the same time, pulling in the same direction. Hopefully they continue doing so tonight. I expect them to build on the five straight wins they already have with another one against a pretty tough Pelicans team, and then Boogie back on Friday. It's a real big week for the Warriors. Big day for Jolo and Dibs. JD 6:30, Brian Baldinger 8:30, Kalena Azabuki in studio from 9 to 10.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.